Good morning, church. We made it's Christmas this week, so this is the last Sunday before Christmas. So I want to wish everybody a blessed Christmas, safe, stay safe, and it is a different Christmas than all the previous years. There's no big celebration at church, but tonight. We do have an online celebration, and it's a very exciting, one-of-a-kind project celebration. I hope that you, not only you, you invite your family, members, or friends to come. It is a partly an outreach program, so please make use of this opportunity to reach out to your friends. That they don't normally come, who don't normally come to church. So this year is a, I hope it's one of a kind experience. I hope that we don't have to go through this again. I think at times we were a bit depressed. I think everybody is. We were despair, and sometimes we feel a bit hopeless, even, isn't it? We thought things are getting better, the pandemic. In the summer, we actually resumed some of our in-person gatherings at church. But as the winter comes, as the temperature gets cold, the spread of the virus getting more and more serious. But there's hope. The important thing is that if you look at the history, there's an end to every pandemic in the past, so this one should not be any different. And this week we talk about the injection of hope. So injection of hope, and obviously we talk about the availability of the vaccine that we have started that applying the vaccine to the seniors, people in the long-term care home, to the frontline workers. So the exciting thing is, even though we are still in the pandemic, it's still very serious, but there is hope. Right? And hope is really important. Without hope, there's really no reason to live. Right. If it's hopeless, if this pandemic will go for the next 100 years, if we're going to be live like this for the next 100 years, I think we'll be very depressed, isn't it? A famous theologian said, "Totally without hope, one cannot live. To live without hope is to cease to live. Hell is hopelessness." We need hope to keep us going. There's hope, always hope for better, hope for improvement. If your hope is always going downhill, then it's not much a hope. When we first moved to Canada, many, many decades ago, at that time there's not that many, I would say not that many immigrants to this place. When we first came, some decades ago, we came here to look for a better future. We are not one of those investment immigrants, you know, that they bought a lot of money here to invest. So we came here because we have a challenge, you know, to making our parents have challenge making a living from where we came from. So we moved here to look for a better life. And I shared last time, in my sermon that when I first came in the summer, I have to work in the farm. That is hard work, really hard work. I don't think I can handle it again. Hard work, low pay, long hours, you name it. But there was hope. And I know that if I study hard, I work hard, I will improve. I won't be working at the farm all my life. I start off as a very junior engineer, and I know that if I work hard, one day I become high up there. And I start off with a small desk at work, and I know that if I work hard, I will be able to move to that big office, which I did. I did move to one of the best offers, overseeing the harbor, seeing all the cruise ships. If we work hard, we know that we will move up, we will have a better life. And hope is very important. Without hope, there's really no drive for us to move forward. When we look at what we are in today, sometimes we feel a bit despair. Sometimes I feel a bit depressed. To a point that sometimes I stop watching the news on TV. Sometimes I get so discouraged with what's happening in the world. You look at the world, and it always seems to be the bad news. I'm not sure if the TV news always seem to pick the bad news. People are more interested in the bad news. So I rather sometimes just keep up with my news on the internet. I'm not sure that's a good option either. If you look at the news, it's always discouraging. This year, we have seen a lot of social injustice. We are living in the better part of the world already. We live in a free, democratic country, a wealthy country, in a relative sense. But when you look at the other parts of the world, people are living in, there's no freedom. They live in a very affordable conditions. They're poor. And when we look at the world, the injustice, sometimes we feel despair. Just like during Jesus' time, the Jews at that time, they were in a depression. They were depressed. They were in despair because they are being suppressed. They're under the control of the Romans. They don't have their own autonomy, freedom. So they're looking for a hope, to escape, to get out of that. And look at the history of Israel. They're always being invaded, being suppressed by foreign powers, by the stronger countries. They were being exiled. They suffered. Even in recent history, if you look at the Jewish people, they are being persecuted. So they were looking for hope as well during Jesus' time. And Jesus is the hope. And that's my topic today. Christmas is hope. And this hope, today we look at Matthew during Jesus' time. But this living hope is not only the hope for the Jewish people 2,000 years ago. This hope is a living hope, even today and in the future. And 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have this living hope. This hope is alive today. So that's what I'm going to share with you today about this hope in Jesus. This hope is not always the hope that we wanted, the outcome, the way, the method. We all want God to just erase, remove this virus instantly, like that, right? Like the SARS, it just disappeared. We don't need any vaccine, right? But God has his own way. So when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, the Jews, the people, they also have their way of their salvation, their way of being saved. They have their way of getting out of their political suppression. And Jesus is not exactly what they were looking for. Sometimes we feel despair, we feel discouraged because the way that God solved the problem is not the way that we wanted it to be. We want the virus to be just disappear, but somehow it just linger on, it just won't go away. You know, this stubborn virus just won't die. God has his way of curing us. God has his way of ending this. we have to listen and follow. Sometimes we look at the world, how come all the bad people seems to prosper, and the good people, and they seem to, the roles are always tough and challenged. How come bad people, corrupt people, always seems to have the upper hand? God has his way. We do not know. So when the hope of Jesus came 2,000 years ago, the people did not accept him. He was rejected. Today is the same. People reject the true meaning of Christmas, even though we celebrate it. But we do not really accept the real focus, the center character of Christmas, Jesus himself. When Jesus came, he promised hope for us, because he is the hope. He promised us two things that we're going to look at today in Matthew. Matthew said this, referring to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah the prophet. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the street. This Messiah, this Savior, is not the one that they were expecting. Matthew said, not what we were expecting. A conqueror, a general, a revolutionist, a strong political leader, you know, someone who can pound on the pulpit up there, and they can gather crowds and overturn the suppressor. No, he's a quiet, no quarrel, a quiet Messiah. No one even hear his voice in the street. Sometimes he just hid himself, hide himself away from the crowd, from the religious leaders of those days. He's not exactly what the Jewish people were looking for at that time. But this Messiah will bring us hope, peace, and glory. The Christmas message is that there's hope for a ruined humanity, us, a hope of pardon, a hope of peace with God, a hope of glory. Because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable, so that 30 years later, he might hang on a cross. Jesus came to die on the cross for us. Jesus is the hope, because through his death, dying on the cross, our sins are forgiven. We can be once again connected with God. That is the start of our hope. That is the hope itself, right? It's the hope that we can be connected with God. But Matthew here continue to tell us, Jesus came that he will bring two things to this world. He will proclaim justice to the nations. He's quoting Isaiah. He will bring justice to this world. Jesus will bring judgment and justice. This word can be interpreted as judgment and justice. Today, when we are living between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, we're living in this period where Jesus is proclaiming through us justice to all nations. But one day, when he comes back the second time, the second Christmas, the second real Christmas, the first Christmas, second Christmas, when he comes back the second time, he will come back as a king. He will come back as a judge. But in between his first and second coming, Jesus here is to proclaim the justice to all nations. He, Matthew 12:20, till he has brought justice through to victory. How does he bring justice? The world needs two things, as I said. First, we need justice. He is bringing us justice through the Christians through the followers. Last week, we saw in the news that close to 200 children were kidnapped by terrorists in Nigeria. These are children. They cannot defend themselves. They were kidnapped by the militants. How low can you get kidnapping defenseless children with guns? We've seen in many parts of the world. We are fortunate to live here in a democratic, free country, in a relatively wealthy country. Many places in the world, they don't have freedom of speech. They don't have freedom. They're being suppressed. Many people live in below average standard conditions, poor countries. They do not have enough to eat, no clean water to drink. We see a lot of injustice in this world. This past year, we talked about social, racial injustice. Jesus came. He is the justice. How is Jesus going to exercise this justice through us? When you look at the history, Christians are the ones who start the movement to abolish slavery in England. William Wilberforce, John Newton, these famous Christian leaders. Christians are the ones who remove the abuse, trying to promote to protect the human rights, protect people, human beings from abuse. Christians are the ones who promote the setting of child labor laws, universal suffrage, freedom, democracy. Christians are the ones, look at the history, the last 2,000 years, we promote peace, harmony, justice. Jesus came to this world. He brought hope to this world. And now today, his hope is going to be carried out through us. His justice is going to be exercised through us. Jesus came not only to bring justice. He is the justice. He will be the judgment one day. But today, he is the justice. But Jesus not only bring justice, the hope for this world, he also brought us mercy. The law works fear and wrath. Grace works hope and mercy. The hope for mercy and love, compassion, Jesus brought us through his dying on the cross. Matthew here quoting again, Isaiah, a beautiful, very full of compassion, this psalm. It's a poem. It's a poem. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. A bruised reed. Reeds are grown at the river, at the riverside. We sometimes in the marsh around the water, along the river. We see a lot of this at the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River. And they're very fragile. Sometimes people step on it, then it gets bent, broken. But a broken reed is of no use. You cannot make anything. You cannot make a basket out of it because it's broken. People just throw it away. But here, the prophet said, a bruised reed he will not break. That's how much this Messiah care and love his people. Even when we are down, he will not give up on us. And a smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. When a candle is almost to its end of life, when we almost finish burning the wick, most of the time we'll just snuff it out, throw it away, and light up a new candle. right? Because this is useless now, right? This is old. It's like our society, when you have to save people, unfortunately, you know, during this COVID situation, when there is not enough beds, not enough equipment, they will tend to save the younger ones and give up on the older ones, isn't it? Right, we've seen this happen, may not be here, but in the world. But a smoldering wick, Jesus said, not Jesus said, the prophet said, our Messiah will not snuff out. Today, are you feeling weak? Are you feeling abandoned today? Be it your health, your challenge in your relationship with other people, with your family members, your finance may be suffering, you are in a very challenging situation, you feel like that you are a bruised reed, you feel like you are a smoldering wick. Cheer up. Here, prophet is encouraging us, this Messiah, he will not break us. He will not snuff us out, even though we are weak, we are down on the ground. My father passed away quite young. I just finished school. I just started working as a young engineer in training, not making much money. And I was the only one who was working in my family with three siblings, my mom and my grandma. They only had one small paycheck for me. And it was challenging, I have to say. But when I look back, you know, God gives us so much grace. Even though when we are weak, when we face challenges in many areas, but God is always so faithful. There's hope in Him. He looked after the weak. He looked after the ones who suffered. So I really like this poem. I hope it can be of encouragement to you. Jesus, when he was on earth, he helped the lepers, the society rejecters. These are the bruised reed. But Jesus healed and support, touched the lepers. The demon-possessed people in Jesus' time, they're like this smoldering wick. Right? They are, no one wants to get close to them. They are rejected by the society. But Jesus healed them. Jesus saved them. Jesus connect with them. Show them his compassion. Cast out the evil spirit. A woman was caught in adultery. She was a bruised reed. People want to stone her to death, but Jesus showed his love and forgiveness. Jesus did not break her, did not just throw her away. A woman with a flow of blood for 12 years, she was sick, abandoned, no one wanted to touch this woman. But Jesus showed his compassion again. He stopped the flow of blood and brought her a new life. She's like a smoldering wick. Jesus did not give up on her. We are sometimes, some of us may be today like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. We are sometimes helpless. But there's hope in Jesus. Jesus came to this world to give the world, that's including you, the justice and a hope, compassion. Prophet Isaiah here brought up, say that this Isaiah come, he will bring justice and he will bring compassion. With hope, we can feel secure. And you will feel secure because there is hope. Today we need hope. And Jesus is our hope. He is the justice. He is the compassion. He is the mercy. Jesus died on the cross for us so that we can be connected with him again. And from Jesus dying on the cross, his suffering, He can understand, He can share our pain. God heals the sickness and the griefs by making the sicknesses and the griefs His suffering and His grief. In the image of the crucified God, the sick and dying can see themselves because in them the crucified God recognizes Himself. By dying and suffering on the cross, Jesus can share our suffering so that we can share His mercy and care. His hope is different from the world. The world have a different expectation. That's why He was not accepted, even as of today. Even today is no different than 2,000 years ago when He first came, because He is not what people expected, not the Messiah the Jews expected. Today, Jesus is here. This is Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus. Christ Mass is about Jesus. But people would not accept Jesus. He is here to bring justice through us, to bring compassion, and to bring hope. But Jesus is the hope. This is a beautiful painting called The Adoration of the Shepherds by Rembrandt, a Dutch artist, painted in 1646. It depicts a beautiful picture with Jesus at the center. The painting is very dark. You may not be able to see it very clearly on the PowerPoint. You can go home and Google it. It's a very beautiful painting. It's very dark inside there, in the barn. It's very dark tone, the whole painting. You can see that's Mary. Shepherds around, there's a little boy with a dog. There's a cow at the back. It's a very old, crummy building, probably dirty, smelly. You see a ladder at the far back there. It's very detailed. They're all looking at this baby. This baby is not painted as an angel, but something in this painting is quite draw my attention. There's a light shining from this baby. This light doesn't come from a spotlight, like the ones we have here, pointing at the baby, or someone's flashlight or lantern or light from the window. This light is not coming from a source of light that shines on this baby. This light is actually coming out from the baby. If you look at the painting carefully, the light is radiating from the baby, shining out. It represents that Jesus is the light for this world of darkness. Jesus brings the hope. Jesus is the hope. Because Jesus brings what we desperately need and looking for, hoping for, justice. Jesus brought to this world, even today, it's the same, compassion. Compassion through us Christians. We have to continue to live out this hope, preparing your minds for actions and being sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll continue to live out this hope. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to diligently to work for Jesus. We have to diligently help Jesus to execute, to spread this justice. We have to show this compassion, mercy of God through our good works. The whole, all the nations, His name, the nations will put their hope. Matthew 12:21. He's also quoting Isaiah here. All the nations, the whole world, our hope, our only hope is on Jesus. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Jesus, justice, love is going to rely on us to execute, to carry out in this world. This past few months, we have it's very sad that as pastors, we saw quite a few of our members, mostly seniors who left us, rested in the Lord. It's very sad to see that they cannot even have a big funeral service. Sometimes only the pastors can be there. They cannot have all the our members, brothers and sisters there to say goodbye. It's kind of sad for us to see that. One of the sisters who was a long-time member of our church, I've known her for many decades, she passed away a couple of months ago. So a few years ago, her younger sister received a phone call from a doctor giving thanks to her sister. The doctor said, your sister passed away. When she passed away, she said that there's no, none of my body parts is any good. No, I'm an old, sick person. So none of my body parts is good to give away, except my eyes. My eyes are still really good. I have really good eyes. So I'm going to donate my eyes to other people that I can give vision to some people. So the doctor told her sister that the doctor want to say thank you that her eyes now given to an 18-year-old girl, young girl, transplanted to her. Now she can see, first time in her life. And now this young girl, 18-year-old, first time she can see. Now she's traveling around BC to see how beautiful this world is. Now she has a hope, a new hope in her life. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful story? Jesus gave us hope, but maybe it's time for us to give hope to other people. Let's not look only for hope for ourselves. Let us be that hope for other people. Let's be the justice for this world. Let's let our compassion, let Jesus' compassion flow through us. Let us bring hope to other people. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Our Father, you came 2,000 years ago. Jesus came to give us a hope, a new hope of life. For that, we want to say thank you. But today, help us, help all of us, not only to receive from you, to receive your love, but also, Father, help us to be that hope for other people. It is your will that we show your compassion, your love to the world, so that people will also find hope in you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.